We'll read together Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 11. This is about Jesus now on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray together. Our Father, as we turn to your word, we want to ask for your help as we look at it and as we think about it. And we pray, Lord, you might impress the truths that you would have impress upon us as we meditate together on the scriptures this evening. And we pray for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't know if you've ever had chicken pox. I was in the primary school, Newcastle Primary, the other day and was speaking about these 10 healed of leprosy and asked them how many had chicken pox. It was surprising how many had chicken pox. And I told them I had chicken pox, but I was 50 something when I had chicken pox, a bit unusual. And when I was doing an assembly in Down High, I told them about the chicken pox and fortnight off school for the chicken pox. And then back to the doctor, and he said, "You can go back to school again." So joy and delight, told the assembly about the chicken pox, and one boy came up to me in one of the classes later that day and said, "You don't usually find it in people as old as you are." I thought, well, that says it all, doesn't it? You don't usually find it in people as old as you are. Here, the problem was not chicken pox, but the problem was leprosy. And there are 4 things just want to draw your attention to from this passage. First of all, it's a story about disease and distance. A story about disease and distance. Here is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And he was travelling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Why was this important? Because at the end of the story, there's going to be a Samaritan feature in this particular story. But here is Jesus traveling along, and on his way, he ministers to these 10 men. And I just thought, isn't it nice when you're traveling that sometimes there can be opportunities when you're en route somewhere? I remember being on beach missions one year and getting stuck on the Isle of Man because of fog. Couldn't get off the Isle of Man. So had to spend a weekend, extra weekend, with one of the beach teams that was still operating there, but down in Ronald's Way, just waiting to see if there was going to be a flight, and sitting beside some folk from Northern Ireland, and of course the conversation comes up, and what are you doing on beach missions? And natural opportunity just to speak to them about what beach missions was all about, and about the gospel. Sometimes in travelling there can be ministry opportunities like that. And here was Jesus travelling and ministered to these 10 men. There was a village and Jesus was going into the village that was there. These 10 men had this disease of leprosy, this skin disease, contagious skin disease. And Leviticus chapter 13 reminds us of a person who has leprosy. Listen to this. "The person with such an infectious skin disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt, and cover the lower part of his face and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live outside the camp." Awful disease, wasn't it? Fingers, feet, toes, but if you had leprosy, it was evident to everybody that you had it because of this, the torn clothes that you wore, your hair, the lower part of your face covered, and then going around crying, "Unclean, unclean." And of course, it reminds us of another disease, doesn't it? That you and I have, the disease of sin. These men stood at a distance, it says in verse 12. And I've been thinking about that. Here's these guys and Jesus there and these men there. Distance between them. It is not what sin does. Sin brings a distance between us and God. God cannot be our friend, cannot walk with us in life until that disease has been removed, that disease of sin. And until he takes the sin away, then there can be great change. But we'll come to that a little bit later. But here is this distance. And of course, the distance is not only here and now, but the distance is eternal as well, isn't it? We'll one day, when we stand before God, if that sin has not been dealt with, that sin will bring a distance from God on that day. And we were reminded this morning of that, that there is a place called hell, a place of penalty, a place of punishment. But here were these men at a distance from Jesus. And just reminds us of the distance that we are from him unless we've been forgiven. So it's a story about disease and distance, first thing. Secondly, it's a story about cleansing and closeness. The 10 men call out in a loud voice, "Have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the word that's used for a loud voice is the word mega. You know, a mega store. It means great. Great place you go and you buy all kinds of stuff. But the word that's used here for in a loud voice is megaphone. That gives us that English word, megaphone. And they call out to Jesus, the Master. They come to the one who has authority. That word Master means that. Means one who has authority. One of standing. And they come to the one in authority and look to the one in authority to transform the situation. And they cry for mercy, for pity or compassion. That's what the word in the original means. Mercy, pity, or compassion. And Jesus tells them to go to the priests, and as they go, what happens? They're cleansed. What they want, they're cleansed. The disease is gone. They're well again, and Jesus has done it. And here's this one guy who comes back and who throws himself at Jesus' feet. See, this is all about cleansing and about closeness, isn't it? There's no distance now. The disease is gone. And that's true of you and me, spiritually speaking, isn't it? When we come to Christ and we repent of our sins and we turn to him and we trust him for having paid the penalty for our sins on Calvary's cross, instead of distance, there's nearness and there's closeness. That's a great thing, isn't it? To have God walk with you in life. Was sharing with the men at our last Office Bearers meeting about Enoch, who walked with God. That's a lovely phrase, isn't it? To walk with God can only happen whenever sin has gone and he's taken it away. Here's cleansing, and the result of that is closeness and nearness. And not only does it mean closeness and nearness here and now, but you know what it means? It means closeness and nearness to him for all eternity. And that's a great truth for us to rejoice in this evening as we come round this table. So when you've been made clean, it brings you into a place of closeness and nearness to Jesus. Lovely to have him walk through with you through life. And it's lovely to walk into heaven one day to be with him, for all eternity. A perfect place for people who have been made perfect because of forgiveness that have come, engaged in perfect praise and in his presence for all eternity. That's the result of having that disease of sin sorted out. And there's cleansing, and then there's closeness and nearness, and it's going to be for all eternity. I think that's wonderful. So disease and distance, cleansing and closeness. But look at this, and as I looked at this week, it really just came to me with force again. It's a story about disease and distance, cleansing and closeness, but it's a story about praise and thankfulness. This man Can you imagine him? There he is with all the leprosy, and now he's been cleansed of that, and he comes and he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and there's no sign of the leprosy. Goodbye to torn clothes. Goodbye to shouting unclean. Goodbye to covering the lower part of your face. For now things were different. He'd been made clean. Goodbye to distance from people, because these lepers would have been separated from their family and their friends. Hello to a normal life. And he comes and he praises God. And there's the second time this loud voice comes in this. The first time was the 10 of them standing, shouting, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." But now here's this man with a loud voice, with a megaphone. Same word. Now, rejoicing. This leper had got it right. And when you listen to stories of conversion, it's often about the person and what they have done, and that's part of it. But you know what this story's about? It says he praised God in a loud voice, because it's God who brings about conversion. It's God who opens people's eyes. It's God who opens people's hearts to the gospel. Do you remember Lydia in Acts 16? It says that about her, that the Lord opened her heart. And when that happens, what should be the outcome? Praise and thanksgiving to God. If you can get a hold of the awfulness of leprosy and understand that, then you'll understand why this guy in a loud voice comes with praise and thanksgiving. If we can get a hold as believing people of the awfulness of sin, of what it does, and what it will do one day to separate us from God, if we can get a hold of that, the result will be that we'll come and we'll praise him in a loud voice. I wonder, do we do that? And this is what has challenged me this past while. To what extent is there praise and thanksgiving in my life for what he has done for me? Am I really getting a grasp of the wonder of salvation? That he's made me as someone who was dead in trespasses and sins alive, and he's done that for you. What should be the result? Praise and thanksgiving in a loud voice. And if he's made us alive, it's a wonderful thing. If he's brought darkness, instead of darkness, brought us to light, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There should be praise and thanksgiving. He's done that. He's brought us from being far off at a distance from God to being near and close to him. And there should be praise and thanksgiving in our hearts and lives for that. So here is this man coming and praising God in a loud voice, this mega voice, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet. And that's what we maybe need to do. If we get a hold of the greatness of our salvation. Now we can't do it physically, but we can do it in our mind. Come to him and just adore him and worship him because of what he has done. That's where we need to come with our praise, to him and to his feet. To his feet thy tribute bring, says the hymn, doesn't it? Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. And there's thankfulness here for this man. The word is that's used in the original means Eucharist. You know that phrase that's sometimes used. And that's what it is here. He comes and he gives thanks, full of praise for what God has done for him. And didn't the hymn writers get it right? Wasn't it Wesley who wrote, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. My great Redeemer's praise." 9 didn't bother coming back, but 1 did. Praise and thanks to God. And we're at the table this evening, I hope with a loud voice, maybe not outwardly, but certainly inwardly, praising and thanking him for all that he's done. This table takes us to the cross, where life was given, blood was shed, awful suffering endured, payment made for your sins and for mine. Separation from God endured as the great burden of sin was laid on him. and the wrath of God endured for us, endured by him in our place. And what should be the response to this table? Praise and thanks to him from the depths of our being and the bottom of our hearts. So disease and distance, cleansing and cleanness and closeness and praise and thankfulness. And just lastly, grace. This is a story about grace. Verse 16 says he was a Samaritan. And you know the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get on. They were separated. There was open hostility. And Jesus, as a Jew, has dealings with this man who was a Samaritan and transformed his life and brought cleansing instead of disease. And Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. Undeserved kindness to this man. Alistair Begg suggests that this is not just physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. Grace displayed to him, the kindness of God displayed to this man, transforming his life, and this man experiencing the kindness of God. And round this table, it's all about grace, isn't it? Nothing we can do. It's all about what he did. The bread speaks about him. The wine speaks about him, about his blood. It's all about him. And this story is all about him. Not about the leper primarily, or the other lepers, but about him, about Jesus. And this evening round this table, let's give him thanks. Let's rejoice again in all that he has done for us, sorting out that disease and bringing cleanness and transformation to us. John Bunyan had it right. We sang it, didn't we? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And John Bunyan wrote these words, "Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners" was the title of his biography. Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. So this story, before we take the bread and the wine, before we have our open time, this story is all about disease and distance, all about cleansing and closeness, all about praise and thanksgiving, and all about grace. And this table is all about disease and distance. It's been sorted out. It's all about cleansing and closeness. This table is all about praise and thanksgiving. And this table is all about grace, God's kindness to you and me. So as we come round the table, let's rejoice together with praise and thanksgiving to him for all he has done for us and for his grace to us.